How's everybody doing this morning? Boy, isn't it, I said, how's everybody doing this morning? Okay, I just want to make sure you was awake. You know, last Sunday, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Man, if you were here, what a glorious day that was. Wasn't it just a great day? Man, I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. You know, and today, we're celebrating as Common Ground Cowboy Church our 9th year. 9 years. Man, let's give the Lord a hand. For all the hard work, for everything everybody's done, nobody can go like this and give themselves a pat on the back for this body still being here. Only by the grace of God are the doors to this old barn still open. Amen? It is such a blessing. God is moving in this community. It's exciting to see. You know, this time I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what happened right after Christ. He was resurrected. He started going around seeing the disciples. And then he went up to the Father. And then there was 50 days after he rose that the disciples were by themselves. You know, right after Christ died, these guys were shattered. The person that they had spent the last few years with in their ministry, now he's gone. And he was crucified. And the fear of themselves having to be crucified just rattled their cage to no end. So they were basically in hiding. There's a day that is coming up. Right? It's called, the day itself is called Pentecost. What does that really mean when you hear the word Pentecost? What do you think of? Anybody think? Yeah, you think something has happened on Pentecost. Actually, the word Pentecost means 50. It's a festival that happens 50 days after Passover. And then on that 50th day, something happened. Something changed those men forever. Something happened to them that is unexplainable except through the power of God. What happened, though? What happened on the day of Pentecost? You know, these guys were afraid of getting caught. They were afraid of being crucified, just like their master was. You know, and these men were real, real weak. You know, it's not for us to judge. If you look back at what happened to these men, they were just regular guys like us. You can imagine if all of a sudden the man that you loved, who had the power of God that showed you everything you knew about Christianity, all of a sudden was gone. We'd be just like them, just like Peter, James, and John. We'd be questioning ourselves, wondering, man, what's going to happen next? What is going to happen to us? They were fearful. They were weak. They were ashamed. They were starting to become independent again, independent on themselves. They started thinking, man, now I got to take care of myself. You know, Jesus is not here to do my thinking for me or to tell us what we're going to go, what we're going to do. What happened on Pentecost changed the world on that day? You know, there's a scripture that talks about what happened during that occasion, and it's in Acts chapter 2. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. Jesus had 11 disciples left, and they were all gathered together, but he told them, he said, don't try to do anything. Don't go to Jerusalem until you receive something. He's saying God's going to give you something that you sorely need to carry on my work. It's called a helper. It's a helper from God. Starting in verse 1 in chapter 2, it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then it says, then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everybody present was filled with the Holy Spirit. Woo! It says, and they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard that loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. You can just imagine this scene. All these different folks that come from all the different parts of the country, they had a language barrier. They couldn't talk with each other. And all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit came down, something happened. All of a sudden, when they started preaching the gospel, they could understand it in their own language. Man, can you just imagine that scene? Hearing it for the first time. It says they were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And it names all of the areas there that these folks were from. We're going to pick it up where it said down in verse 12. It says, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They ask each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they are just drunk. That's all. Drunk. That's all. That's what everybody saw that was looking on. All the hearsayers. They're going, man, they've been drinking. They're all drunk. See how they're acting? They're all smiling and laughing and cutting up. It's kind of like this church, isn't it? When we get here in the morning, we're shaking hands, we're laughing. I guess if someone come in, they would say, man, that guy's been drinking. Ain't nobody could be that happy and not be drunk. Yeah. It says here, from this day forward, though, these men started preaching with authority. It said they had power in the words that they spoke. Right after they received the Holy Spirit, these folks couldn't sit still. Peter jumps up in front of the crowd and starts preaching. Now, here are men that were, I would call them shy, bashful. They were real men. I mean, these guys were fishermen. I mean, they had to work hard for a living, but they're not used to talking to folks. Kind of like us. I mean, we're not used to going out and sharing our feelings. I don't know. Are you, Bobby? You used to sharing your feelings, Wendell? No. I mean, we keep things to ourselves, but this man boldly stood up and started proclaiming the gospel. What was the difference in his life? What made the difference from being fearful and ashamed? You have to understand, now his shame come from denying Christ three times. But now he's standing up and talking to the crowd. And this is what he said. It picks up and it said in 14, then Peter stepped forward with 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. Long ago. The Holy Spirit is what made the difference. The Holy Spirit of God came upon these men in such a way that it made them bold. It made them stand up. They could no longer just stand by and not tell what they had heard and what they had seen. You know, I kind of feel that way sometimes. I never imagined myself standing in a pulpit and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I always felt like I was one of those guys that was out working. And I would tell people about Jesus, but never did I ever find myself here And I didn't really, until I was called to do it, I didn't have what I needed to do it. I didn't have it. Something gave it to me. Something gave me the ability and the nerve and the courage to stand up for Jesus. That thing was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. He changes you from the inside out. No matter what you were before, when the Holy Spirit comes, He changes your heart. He makes you into a new creature. For all those who've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, He changes you. You might say, you know, well, I don't have the courage to speak and tell people about Jesus. My question to you is, have you ever tried? Have you ever talked to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, I would like to be one of those guys that could be able to tell my buddy about Jesus, but I just don't have what it takes. Can you give it to me? I'm telling you, folks, it happens just like that. God gives you what you need to stand up for Him and tell and proclaim the gospel, to speak and to let God come through for you. You know, unafraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's an amazing thing. I can't believe that I'm still here. And that, you know, sometimes I do get nervous. Sometimes I get afraid, because the fear is not that you're going to eat me, that you're going to hurt me. The fear comes with one thing, that I will not say it what I have to say so that you can understand it. That I would miss something. That I would not get it right. I would not get it out there. But I learned one thing. The Holy Spirit takes whatever you say and lets it be heard. He lets it be understood. I do the best I can, but the Holy Spirit takes it from there. God is blessing our church, folks. He is blessing this church in a mighty way. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about this building. Because if we all left this building, all you got is in a barn. The barn is not the church. You are the church. What holds a church together? What holds a church? What makes a church be a church? It's the folks that are in it. The folks that have turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about, why do some churches thrive and grow and others die on the vine? I've spent a lot of time in prayer asking God, can you just show me what it is that makes some churches just be the place to be, to where when you walk in there, you feel welcome. When you walk in, you feel like you're home. When you walk in, you know that they're glad to see you, and they hate to see you go. It comes down to one thing, love. Everybody wants to feel loved. Every time I hear somebody say about, oh, I used to go down to that church down there, but there ain't nobody in there, they wouldn't talk to me. They didn't care. They didn't know if I was there or not. They didn't feel loved. Jesus says there's three things that you need: faith, hope, and love. Which one do you think is the greatest? Love. Man, everybody wants to feel loved. I know I do. And I feel loved here at this body. This building does not have the ability to love me. It doesn't. It's just walls. It's just tin. It's just wood and concrete. But who I feel loved by is you. When we see each other, that's what we should be doing, is proclaiming the love that Jesus give us. Share that love with each other. And share it with the folks out there. Because I know, you know, I preach a lot about going out and being faithful and telling folks about Jesus. and inviting someone to come. I'm proud to say y'all must be hearing it. God must be talking to you because we are growing. And it's going slow because look at the area we live in. We're in a rural community, but I'm telling you, God is moving, and he's moving through you. It's not anything that I'm doing. It's what you're doing Monday through what? Saturday. Most people, they just come to church, and this is the reason that the church dies, is they come to church on Sunday, and all they do is warm that chair, and that's it. And they suck up whatever they can suck up that day. And they're, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so glad to be here. And then they live for themselves the rest of the week. It's time for all of us as believers in Christ to love 7 days a week, not just on Sunday. 9 years. I tell you, we're still here. I can't wait to see what the next 9 is going to bring. Amen? Just think about we're getting ready to add on to the church. We're fixing to add on because we've got so many little children that we got to have a place for them. That is a great problem to have. That means you got young couples that's coming in, young couples that's wanting to serve, young couples that's wanting to worship their Heavenly Father. I can't wait to see what he's going to do. But God has got something great for this area. I've told the elders and I've told the lay pastors that for years now, I said, something big is fixing to happen. I don't know what it is. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take, but it's going to be a great thing. It's exciting to see God's work. It's exciting to see people who come in and are ready to do something, that are ready to get their hands dirty, to get out there and work in the arena, you know, when it gets hot and it's dusty, work in the kitchen where it is hot. I hope it's not dusty. No, I know it's not. I know that place is spick and span. But working for the Lord, working for you, praise God, it's going to be great. And I ask myself why, because he is making a difference in you. He's changing you. He's changing me. Every day we get up, we're closer to him. We're more like Christ every day. And I've said this before, if you are staying the same, if from Monday you feel a certain way, you're at a certain place in your life, and when you come to the week, if you're not more like Christ that following week, something's wrong. For every day, we should be getting more and more like him. Amen? Amen? More and more like him every single day. Making a difference in each other's lives. If you're sick, making sure that you're taken care of, that you got food, that you don't have to cook. If you need money, we make sure that we fulfill whatever we can to do as a body. We take care of each other, don't we? We try to meet all needs. And it's not us that's doing it, but it's Christ doing it through us. It's love. You know, most people don't give a flying flip what happens to their next door neighbor. You think about it. Something terrible could be going on and they don't even know it because they don't know them. That's the blessing of being in God's family, is we know what's going on with everybody, and we want to help because of one thing, because of love. Amen? 9 years. 9 more. I may not be here in 9 years. Shoot, I may not be here tomorrow because I'm not promised tomorrow. I hope I am, but praise God, whoever is here, and I'm talking about y'all, whoever is here, I pray that they're still loving each other, that they're still loving their neighbors, and they're still reaching out and asking folks, do you know Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? I want to tell you what he's done for me, how he's changed my life, and what he can do for you. The best is coming. The best is yet to come. I believe that with all my heart. Let's pray.